I'm Annette Ruby from the Knowledge Centre, and today I'm talking to Ben Jacoby, who's a doctoral candidate in the Department of Politics and International Studies at Warwick. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Perhaps you could start by telling us a little bit about your research topic.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm looking at state interventions into housing and mortgage markets in the German and the British context. And I think it's quite interesting because, especially the comparative aspect, because house prices, you know, as we know, at least vilified in, you know, in the UK and US for being the cause of the credit crisis. And if we have a look at house price trajectories in Germany, then they are very stable and flat. Mm. So that's like one way into it, like, okay, why is it actually interesting?
Mm-hmm.
But also what I'm interested in this is the way the state tries to act upon the individual and our understanding of things. You could say it's a cultural analysis of, you know, how we think about ownership, renting and stuff. So mm-hmm. what I want to say is that they're actually quite different depictions of housing and the management of private finance in those two economies.
Okay, great. And how did you get interested in this area in the first place? I know that you're previously a sociologist, is that right?
Not really. I've done my studies in Belgium, and so mm-hmm. I did like a bachelor in politics,
uh-huh.
but yet you have the opportunity to take like a minor, what they call the minor. So
take
some courses in another discipline.
Yeah.
And I took sociology, yes. And yeah, I was quite fascinated with it, especially with the, you know, the theoretical aspect and all these big names. And it was quite interesting. But I think, yes, those kind of readings and thoughts influenced how I think about the economy. So then, maybe I came to Warwick, did a master's in IP, so mm-hmm. International Political Economy. And I still remember the first lesson was, okay, what is this about? And it's about how states and markets relate to each mm-hmm. other. And I was like, okay, but then, you know, bit by bit, I was thinking like, okay, but what about people? Because, you know, sociology is about people
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the individual and the community and how the things work together. So what I was quite interested in is how actually the state makes the market. I'm not sure all the economists will be with me on that, because at least neoclassical economists, or the current reading of neoclassical economists' perspective on market, is that, you know, markets just, they have a balance and they always go back to that. So actually the state should do nothing else than just do some laws about that we should all be peaceful to each other. So, but my view on this is that actually the state is more active in the making of the market, and actually the state tries to make people do certain things, so actually it works well for them. My feeling is that, at least in the UK, so I think people would be more interested in the British case,
mm-hmm.
is that I think the state was trying to actually promote ownership as something socially valuable, and by making, you know, having those process of privatizations in the financial side of the economy, people were able to get cheap credits.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people were able to get their own house, and that actually, you know, as all good economists know, demand was going up and prices went up as well. So actually people were able to, on the back of rising house prices, to actually take wealth out of the system again through equity schemes, and then invest that money into the national economy. Yeah, I'm going to be off topic here. Why I'm interested in it is it's just the interplay of things that I think it's just a topic that matches quite well with maybe the skepticism against the current reading of economics. There's something very mathematical and strict. And but it's also like, I'm quite interested in, you know, buying a house is something that, you know, normal people do, like, not me, not yet, but maybe, you know, just like regular people do. It's not something like, oh, politics is about some politicians out there. Actually, it's really us.
Accessible, so. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wonder if you'd say a little bit about your research methods. You mentioned that you're doing one sort of case study in Britain and one in Germany. I wonder if you could tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to do is, because I'm saying that actually what the state does and actually what the state says matters for how we understand things. What I'm looking at is government statements and speeches in general, parliament debates, so what conceptions were on there, and then which conceptions of economic subjectivity did the state pick on, why, what was the legitimation discourse. So what in the literature is called the coordinative discourse among policy actors, but then also the communicative discourse between the state and the individual. So, you know, if politicians make statements on the radio or on TV or, you know, in the parliament, they know they actually, it's actually how they address the whole thing, how they try to get the message over from, you know, their view into people's minds, in a sense.
And how do you see your research fitting into the development of your discipline as a whole?
I think there's a couple of things. So this is going to be maybe a bit more technical. The comparative capitalism's literature, where actually, where people have said, okay, there are different kinds of capitalisms. You know, there is this distinction between Anglo-Saxon and which is more consumption-driven, and then the German capitalism or Rhinian capitalism, where it's more about labor relations and making people work and then export a lot. So that's one literature. Then the institutionalist literature. So there have been different debates about how to think about institutions. So because also say, actually what the state says depends on the institutional setup of the whole economy and, you know, who is saying what when. And then something that is more current or more, you know, more recent at least is the everyday IP thing, where actually people have been trying to integrate those concerns about individuals into the domain of international political economy, because actually, so there is actually concern about political economy being about those big structures, about trade and all kinds of stuff, and maybe greedy bankers, but not about actually people. So I think, so this, my research would fit into those kind of academic attempts.
And I was going to ask what the future of your research is. I mean, I don't know if you are going to carry on or what plans you've got.
So I can just say, so I'm a third year PhD. I've been able to get hold of some funding for a fourth year. So what I'm trying to do is write up the last chapters of all this, try and put a nice introduction and conclusion, so to make it nice. And then hopefully I'm going to have a bit more time to try and submit a couple of papers to some journals. I'm not yet sure if academia is where I want to go, but I just think if I would just, you know, like to have that feeling of having tried, you know, to publish. I know it's quite hard, and you know, depending on what journal you try to go for. If I have the opportunity in terms of time and resources, then I would like to try to, you know, have it there completed with at least submitting something. I'm not sure it's going to be published, but hopefully, and then looking for jobs. As I said, maybe looking around for postdocs. Even though, as I said, I'm not sure if academia is going to be where I would like to spend the next 20, 30 years. I think a different alternative road would be either a think tank that is, so because it's still research, but it's more practical based. So actually, the research problem is not coming up primarily by the academic literature, but actually by the real world phenomenon. And maybe like there's something in housing and stuff, because I mean, housing is quite big in the UK. But then also, because I speak like French and German and English, so I was thinking about European Union and actually, there, so what, at the moment there's no collective or no common, there's very little common legislation on housing markets and mortgage markets in the European Union. But there have been attempts to, you know, make those markets come into the single market. So let's see what happens. I mean, I would like to be quite flexible. Depict myself at least as being quite flexible and then see what's coming up.
I wish you the best of luck, Ben. Thank you for your time. It's been very interesting talking to you.
Okay, thank you.
Do come back and see what we're up to on the Knowledge Centre, as we'll be updating the site regularly with the latest research and learning materials.